Red Cow Arcade.
So my child is in kindergarten, and I didn't expect her to come home talking about vertices, digraphs, consonants, nouns, identifying the short U sound in the middle of words, having homework on Mondays and Tuesdays. I mean, we went from like daycare to this.
I hear that like kindergarten nowadays is more like first grade. Like they keep up in the ante with school.
Yeah.
Giving these kids more and more things to do.
When I was a kid, I went through the public school system the whole way. She probably will too. But occasionally like Catholic school kids would like transfer into our elementary school. Nina actually was one of those. And they were always way ahead of us. So we were like always like the dumpy public school that was way behind. And so, yeah, maybe they're catching up a little bit. And it's also like three teachers to like three adults to 19 kids. And, you know, everything you read is that like the predictor for success is like as much kind of personal time as possible. And and the homework has these like it has check boxes that are like, did she complete this with one-on-one help? Did she complete it in a group, or did she complete it completely by herself? Like they'll mark that up. It's pretty good, man. I'm impressed.
Oh, well, I don't know. I went to Catholic school all my life. So
yeah,
it was basically a prison.
Catholic prison.
Catholic prison. Everyone was angry, and it was, and they had no like money or technology. Like they were always like 10 years behind the public schools. People said I got a better education than the public schools, but I don't know. I don't think school was really for me.
I've learned there's a few philosophical changes since we were children that I've learned about. And what I'll do is as the years go by, I'll catalog these. We'll talk about them. So I've just learned a couple. A noun is now a person, place, or thing, or an animal.
Because
the thing didn't cover the base for.
Yeah, I would have thought thing because, you know, animals don't have souls.
So somebody, PETA had their way there. But it's not, they kind of tack it on in a token kind of way, you know, like a person, place, or thing, or an animal. Like they'll kind of throw that.
Oh, yeah. Like sometimes why?
Sometimes why? Exactly. And then practice doesn't make perfect anymore. Did you know this?
No.
Practice makes progress.
See, I guess it sort of makes sense. Because yeah, like so. The perfect is the enemy of the good and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, you spun it in a positive direction. I didn't know or forgot what digraphs were. You know, it's an SH sound like sh or ch.
Yeah.
But she's like,
My son is obsessed with ghost letter digraphs, which I had no idea what that was.
What's that? What's a ghost letter digraph?
I think it's like two letters that make a sound, but one of them, like, it's like, honestly, I don't know. honestly, I never learned it in elementary school.
Well, yeah, she has some kind of mantra. She was like, it's two consonants that work together and they do not fight. Like, that's the whole thing. And the other, they take pictures of the kids like all day with their cell phones and they send them to you on an app. We have this app called Blooms. And so it's kind of, you know, they're like, hey, just a reminder, like PE is Wednesday this week. So bring in the clothes, or we're doing a thing with apples, bring in a green, a red, and a yellow. They did something where they all had to vote on, they did like a box Mac, but for apples. They did a taste testing and they voted for who likes green, red, and yellow best. Or, what else are they doing? Yesterday, they all had petted a therapy dog, and they sent home pictures of that. I have always had a real axe to grind against this therapy dog crap. When it started about 10 years ago, I was like, what the hell is that over there? Therapy dogs. Cause there was always kind of at least we're talking about kindergartners here, but like when it comes to colleges and stuff, like,
it was like
real infantile.
This is my therapy lizard. And you have to be like, I guess I have to agree to this.
I remember one time the guy who does card taps had to print out a card for the iguana, for the therapy iguana. What was the deal? It needed to like not be tappable because otherwise people could like steal it and tap into buildings. So it was just like an identifier. And I remember like he came over, he was talking to us about it. And one of my sysadmins, who's this kind of like just chilled out dude, he like looks up at him and he goes, Why are you making ID cards for lizards?
This is where we're at now, man.
Why are you making ID cards for lizards? So I'm encouraged because my school system, the school system she's going through now, I went to that very school. I actually went to like orientation day where we sat like in their little teeny chairs and, you know, like took notes. And I noticed like the teachers are, yeah, they're very nice. They do, at least certainly on those first days of school, it's a real fashion show for them. They like to whip out their denim and their, like, it's a, you know, it's all a big show.
Yeah, you're talking about like pictures. Gabriel is finally into some extracurricular activity, which is gymnastics. It was like really weird.
We're doing that too.
Yeah, he says no. He's like me. Like I just like intrinsically will be like a homebody. I don't want to go to things. I'm not interested in your activities. But for some reason, he was like tumbling around the house, and he's like, hey, do you want to do something like this, like gymnastics? And he's like, yeah. And we were like floored because he says no to everything. Mm. And so we're like, okay, sure. So we signed him up for gymnastics. And so Anna signs him up. And part of the thing is like, they're like, oh, to even sign up, you have to agree that they take pictures of him, that they can use whatever.
Right.
And Anna's like, I don't know if I want to agree to that. I'm like, you can't say no. So it's like either he takes does the gymnastics and gets the pictures, or he does. You could probably just sell, like, because that's just the form that wouldn't let you fill out the form without that.
Nina can be a little bit sensitive about that too, certainly with the YouTube channel. And I get it a little bit more with the YouTube channel. But for this local stuff where it's like, well, what do you suppose is going to happen? Like, I want somebody who's sensitive to this to like explain it to me like I'm stupid. A criminal will see the photo, get ideas.
I think it's just like, I don't know, sensitivity to like, oh, we're, when they get older, it's like, oh, we shared your picture all the time everywhere. I don't know. It's like maybe this, yeah, it's like some rights thing, I think.
It's like some privacy thing. I don't quite get it. Where I'm like, I don't know. But when I was a kid, like if like everybody wanted their picture in the newspaper, you know.
Oh, maybe, yeah, it was a everyone was taking Polaroids and putting them up, you know.
Mm. Yeah,
we didn't think about it, but now I guess everything is like has strange like Mark Zuckerberg fingerprints all over. Yeah, everything. I
mean, fair enough.
So it's like, oh well.
Yeah, she does gymnastics and she does American Ninja Warrior.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, there was a ninja class in this gymnastic thing because you could do regular gymnastics or like a ninja thing and we just picked regular gymnastics because it sounded more real than that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's right, except what we found was all it is like a soft play jungle gym. Okay. It's extra recess time. And for, you know, when Nina signs are up for this stuff, I'm always like, oh man, like that's going to be even more evening stuff and even more active, you know, because we do swim on Saturday afternoons, we do church of course. And then, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we do like gymnastics and American Ninja Warrior.
And yeah, it adds up. And you're like one of those, yeah, 90s parents that are always driving their kids.
And at first I thought like, this is going to be horrible, but actually like we all do enjoy it. Like we all get to kind of do stuff together because you do spend a lot of the workday just totally divorced from one another. So it's a cool, it's, you know, outside of like, otherwise we stay home, we watch some TV, we play at home. You know, it's good to do. Yeah. And the American Ninja Warrior, she is much, for her, it's just like extra recess time. It's extra get energy out time. It's at least for, she's sensitive and she's, you know, she has a lot of energy to get out. And so that sort of thing, I think is helpful for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Gabriel's like a golden retriever. You put him outside and he just like bolts, he runs, you know, and he just needs to get that energy out. I do like the gymnastics too, because one, Anna takes him, Gabriel, to gymnastics, and then I get to hang out with Noah alone, which is really nice. That's good. So I just like put him in the stroller. We take a walk to Dunkin' Donuts. We eat donuts together and then we walk back.
That's excellent. That's great.
It's a nice little bonding experience because, you know, usually they're both around and they're always crazy, so it's fun to have a one-on-one time.
He's two now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he can chat with you a little bit, like
just a little bit. He says things here and there. He's definitely a funny guy.
Yeah. She's getting better at homework, like because she started to tell me like, oh, this is boring, like making me sit here and do homework, and I'm like, trying to instill in her the notion that, like, when you feel bored, because boredom can really, like, destroy somebody's work ethic. I think we, you know, it's like, if you kind of answer the call of boredom. And so I'm trying to kind of teach her, like, when you feel bored, like, engage harder, like, make paying attention and doing the task the game. If you can, maybe this is just like a boy talking, but
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It seems to, she seems to respond to that somewhat. We went to Salem.
All right.
My favorite place in the world. They've got this gigantic comic book store there, and then a littler comic book store that we featured on A Junk's Cart a long time ago. They've got Game Zone, which is I really probably one of the best retro games. It's really, really small, but their selection is excellent. The decor is excellent. It was featured in that Not for Resale documentary. We should, you know, if our two families are ever looking to do something in like an area that we can both get to, you know, like a Salem day could be really fun. Maybe yeah. When the kids get a little older. Because yeah, well, at least you and I have lots to look at there. And, but anyway, yeah. And I bought Lolo from Game Zone.
Oh yeah. Featured prominently in EJ's top 10 NES video.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it otherwise. So at this point, I think I, you know, I'm not going to go as far as to buy like Final Fantasy, but,
yeah,
but Kirby's Adventure I got. Yeah. So anyway, it's not quite October, so they've only started to have some cosplayers out in the streets. For those who don't know, it's obviously we're talking about Salem, Massachusetts, the home of, you know, the Salem witch trials, and for which the upcoming tomorrow Hocus Pocus 2 was partially shot, and it was shot also in Newport. We actually walked by the product. We were out in Newport one day. We walked by the production. They had dressed up Newport as Salem.
Oh, you know,
they're only about an hour away. Somebody must have thought that Newport, Rhode Island was a better place to shoot for some, maybe taxes in Rhode Island or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, she encounters this kind of like winged sort of demonic woman, and she's Gloria's, you know, kind of like it gave her pause, and the woman starts talking to her. I have it all on video. It's going to make its way into some Halloween content, I think. And, the woman's doing some magic trick with her or whatever, trying to lure her in. And Gloria finally goes, "I don't want to sound rude, but you kind of look like the devil." and the woman goes, "Well, I'm Satan's bride." And Gloria was like, "Fuck that." she talked about it for the rest of the trip. She's like, "Why would you marry Satan?" And then she started to be like, how come God doesn't have a wife? We got to hook him up with like an angel. And she's like going on about
writing some fan fiction,
but it was
some heavenly fan fiction.
She started, oh my god, some like slash heaven. but she started to like kind of weep, you know, like she would think about it and she would start sobbing, and she's like, it was so scary. So she still isn't really like delighting in the kind of Halloween horror of it all. She doesn't see it as a game as much.
No.
And even in like that comic book shop, there was all kinds of horror movie type stuff, and she just wasn't going for it.
I remember we just trick-or-treating like a couple years ago, and Gabriel saw like an It clown, you know, but he didn't really understand it was supposed to be scary, so he was like he was like ah, funny clown. It was kind of funny. It was just like,
oh, we all float down here.
It's like he didn't understand that it was supposed to be a scary clown yet.
Wow, that's really cute. Just like, you know, give the clown no power. So we, you know, if you want to stay like in downtown Salem, which we've done before, there's this hotel called the Waterfront, and that you just walk outside and you're at, you know, all the greatest spots. And there's this, I interviewed the owner of the place, in a video a few years ago. There's a place called, Count Orlok's Nightmare Gallery, and it's like, you know, it's all famous movie props, horror movie props, and horror movie masks and stuff. It's awesome. It's like $10 to walk through, and it's just great. Gloria ain't ready for that yet. And they had another store that was just literally all Halloween clothes, like you know, if you wanted to just wear cool shit around Halloween time, not a costume but Halloween decor. It was very good for that. And there's a movie theater right there, right in like the Essex Mall, called Cinema Salem. It's a little indie movie theater and, you know, does limited run stuff. It used to do, like, the owner would produce, like, historic film, like indie films about Salem. Like, one of them was in 3D. I remember
you telling me
it was such that. Fun. Like, he had, like, one of the one that screened the indie stuff, like the self-made stuff, was like this almost this like little room, you know, you sit on a couch with like some other weirdos and you know, like a little porn theater or something. And we loved it. And they had a coffee bar, like a little cafe, but they had a couch and they had a projector and they would project like Adam's Family 24/7, or they would project like, one time I walked in there, they were just like looping the Clone Wars. So you like sit there and watch a movie for free and go and say, it was all, we just loved it. And it closed and it was for sale. I'll tell you, for half a minute, I was like, could I buy Cinema Salem? Is that in my cards at all for my life?
Was this where the next stage of Frankie?
Yeah. But, you know,
we do all our content there.
Yeah. I mean, it could be amazing, but then, you know, then, COVID happened anyway, but then we went and we didn't partake, but Cinema Salem is back open. I don't think it's the same owners. I think somebody else bought it. So that was really
exciting. You missed your chance, Frankie. You missed your chance.
You know, I'm just glad it still exists. It would be a real shame if like this, you know, this horror movie, horror culture town didn't have a freaking movie theater.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And the Addams Family cosplayers were there as well. That was good. So we couldn't stay in the waterfront. So we went to, you know, a Holiday Inn for $300 for the night. Two beds, whatever. You know, it's all good. It has a pool. Like, one of the things we enjoy, it's rare that we get to like spend a week anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we try to do these 2-3 day weekends sometimes, stay in a dumpy hotel and go to the pool, go to the hot tub. Gloria loves that. Like, that's like a highlight, is to swim around for an hour. And she's getting better at swimming, so it's all the better. And so we go to bed. I fall asleep. Bean isn't in the bed with Gloria. I'm in my own bed. And somewhere in the recesses of my dreams, I'm hearing people screaming at the top of their lungs, swearing at one another, and doing hard drugs. Somewhere just in the back of my mind, this is all happening. Like, bam, 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 you fucking piece of shit! You know, just complete chaos. And I'm like, this is a weird dream. And I wake up enough to notice that Nina is like sitting at the edge of the bed on the phone. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I start to realize like something's actually happening here. And she's like, something's going on in the other room. And I'm like too disoriented to realize. She's like, it's in 222. We're in 224. And I was like, oh, I'll go out there and tell him to shut up. And she was like, I wouldn't go out. She's
can like, you just like, shut up?
Can you like shut up? That would have been great. See, cool. Cool. They think it's cool what those people are going through.
Check it out, Beavis.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about this.
I like when Beavis has, like, yeah, this is a little revelatory. Oh, yeah. He gets wise to it.
I'll be damned.
Those are the hardest drugs I've ever seen been done. So have you ever been in a Holiday Inn where there actually is a door that like it's meant to be that you order both rooms, you know? Yeah. So they're like slamming into the door that's right there. I got a 5-year-old sleeping. And it's not clear that we're only talking about two women, but in the fullness of time, we realized it was only two women. And we believe that what was going on was. And again, you have to understand, like, with that kind of racket, with that kind of craziness, it could be like a group. I don't know. We thought that there was like, you know, I didn't know if there were men.
It was an exorcism. Exorcism in Salem?
Salem.
The devil is pounding on your door.
Yeah, Satan's bride.
Satan's bride.
It sounded like Satan's fucking bride.
Coming to get Gloria finally.
Oh, yeah, it's like, I knew it. on the way from the parking lot to the lobby, when we checked in, there was, we crossed over a syringe in the, you know, there was a syringe in the middle of the parking lot. And I'm like, you know, cause you're starting to get into an area of Massachusetts. It's kind of like, you know, an opioid epidemic. So we ring the front desk off the hook, EJ, for an hour and a half while this is going on. And oh, and the whole room stinks like cigarette smoke, like the whole, our whole room filled with cigarette smoke.
Oh,
you know, just, and nasty cigarette smoke.
That, and, you know, that's, that sucks. I remember, like accidentally getting a smoking room instead of a non-smoking room. And I thought, I didn't even realize that those still existed.
I didn't either.
And so like, yeah, I remember even just staying there, all of our stuff reeked of smoke afterwards.
Yeah, and I don't like that either, but Nina really doesn't like that. Oh, I mean, like, we did a No Views this past weekend. We had a little campfire, and that's just, like, it's almost a liability where I'm like, I'd almost rather, like, not bring Nina to a place that has, like, a campfire, because as soon as we get home, like, all clothes have to come off, shower. She, you know, she just can't stand, like... Yeah, it's not just nicotine. It's like the smoke itself. But she, so I start trying to call. I can't get anybody. I just can't get anybody at the front desk. Cause you know, like if it was a dangerous situation for us, which I'm not convinced it wasn't.
You don't know. You wouldn't have known at the time with that much racket.
Right. Right. It was definitely clear that they were going in and out in the hallway. So they were walking in. Oh yeah. So,
you don't know if they have weapons. You don't know anything.
No, right. But what we figured out was, or what we assume, is that, well, here, I'll explain why I think what I think in a minute. So I go on Discord and I'm like, hey, it just so everybody here knows, just so there's like a group of people, there's some posterity just in case anything happens. I'm in 224 at the Peabody Holiday Inn. They will not answer the phone. In 222, there's a drug, you know, violence situation going on right now. And everybody was like, you should just call the police at this rate. And you know, how unacceptable is it that the front desk won't pick up? And so I call 911.
Oh yeah. And Dan said that I should say, wow, that's crazy. He's looking forward to this story told on the podcast. And I would say that, wow, that's crazy.
Well, that's crazy, man. You're not Joe Rogan.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
It's fucking crazy.
So there was like a chimp next door that was wrestling like a moose.
There's fucking two women in the Peabody
Hotel. Jamie, just pull that up, please.
Don't interrupt me. he gets a little shitty about that, huh? So I call 911 and you know, they're like, Peabody police, what's your emergency? And I have to speak quietly because they'll totally hear me calling the police, and I don't want them knowing that it was me. So I'm like, hey, I'm in hotel 224. So I'm in like hushed tones.
Hello. Can you say that louder, sir?
I'm about to get murdered. We'll be right there. They said, they were like, what's your name? I said, Frankie Frayne. And they were like, the name on your driver's license. I was like, Francis. I don't know, maybe not even 10 minutes later, I heard like, bam, 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 bam. And they didn't answer. And they were like, this is the Peabody police. And they refused to answer the door. They're like, ma'am, I don't have all night. Like, we're getting a lot of complaints about this room. And they're like, it's registered to my social worker. And he starts talking quietly and he's like, just shut it all down. I'll be in the lobby. And then I start to hear them like flushing stuff like crazy.
Oh.
And then they go to the lobby and you know, they all left and it finally got quiet. And so what we think happened was the drug addict woman was coming out of rehab. The social worker needed her to detox some, or maybe she from a lockup or something, needed her to detox, got her a place at the Holiday Inn right next to Frankie and Nina. And then the mom
and a child,
I think the other person and a child. I believe it was the mom that stayed with her. And the social worker was the one who registered the room. I think that's what happened. So I go down the next morning to the lobby and I stand in line waiting to talk to them. I'm exhausted. I hardly got any sleep. $300. And I'm like, hey, are you the manager? And she's like, I'm the desk supervisor. Yeah. And she's ready for me to be like a big Karen about everything. And I was like, do you know that the police were here last night? And she was like, is this about the two women? I was like, yeah, I called you off the hook for hours and you didn't pick up. I also called like some 800 number, and they were like, "Oh, I'm very sorry to hear about that, sir. Definitely, I will put down a case number. Do you want to write down a case number, sir?" And I was like, "There are people next door
currently in a situation.
One is okay. I'm very sorry to hear about that, sir."
You don't understand. This is an emergency.
Yeah. Okay, sir, I understand now. Very sorry to hear that. Do you want to write down the case number? Like, I want to fucking kill you, actually. But she immediately, she turned white when she realized, like, oh, nobody was picking up. She was like, "We'll definitely talk about that, and I'm going to go ahead and refund you the whole amount right now."
That's awesome.
And the whole thing was like,
at least that was.
So that's my, and then I get home. Drive home from Salem is about 2 hours, and then we got to run out and get and shop for food. And I'm halfway to the supermarket, and I hear a big like bam, like from underneath my car. And I'm like, "Oh, did I hit something? Did I hit like a human body or something?" And it turns out my oil pan cracked, it heated up, expanded, blew out, oil dumps out. I'm not realizing it. The red oil thing starts flashing. I'm like, "Shit." Like, turn around, stop the car, whatever. Engine light comes on, engine starts smoking. We're all broken down on the side of the road. And AAA was there quick, man. And I was able to get it towed to Kia. So, yeah, the engine is toast. And
wow, really?
Yep. And but they think that so it's got like 100,000 miles on it, and I bought it 4 years ago, but they think that extended warranty will cover it. And that tells me that oil pan thing is probably some kind of known defect. But it's now been 2 weeks with no car and no answer about the warranty. Like, they're like, "Well, there's like 9 people in like 1,000 stores. So we just got to wait forever." I'm like, "What is this, Italy?"
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Well said. So that's my story there. You want to talk about Wolverine going around one more time?
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah.
Do you have a reaction to that?
I mean, I'm all for it because I think Hugh Jackman is just so charming that I want him in anything. I remember there was one time he hosted the Oscars, and it was like, it was not that great, but like, he was just so magnetic, I couldn't stop watching.
And earnest.
Yeah, he's just like entertaining. He's like, he's not like super funny, but you just keep wanting to watch him.
Very charismatic, very charming, very sincere. There's a very, very charming clip of him being interviewed by like some journalist, and he finds out that like the guy used to be a student of his, like in Australia, like when he was like teaching acting or something, and he like actually remembered him and like couldn't answer any of the interview questions. He's like, "I used to teach you." It was a very human moment. He's got like a wife who's not as attractive as him. I find that very charming. Yeah,
I know. Well, I mean, and he's like one of those celebrities. Like, if somebody was like, "Oh, who would you like hook up with?" He's probably one of them. Yeah.
He's like, a huge jacked man.
He's a huge jacked man. He's just, I liked him in, The Prestige. He's obviously amazing.
Wonderful.
Les Mis. Yeah, Les Mis, obviously Wolverine.
One day more. Another day, another destiny. Bryan Singer, say what you will about him. He really knocked it out of the park with that casting.
Yes.
Nobody got any superhero casting quite that right, except for Favreau with Tony Stark, maybe. But every time they talk about recasting Wolverine, it seems like there's always people that bring forward the, like, "Hey, what about like this Edgerton guy?" Or about, and I always find it distasteful. Am I the only one? I'm always like, "The fuck are these substitutes for the real thing?"
So my reaction is like, I'll watch Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman fuck around for a movie. And hopefully it's not like a huge troll where he just like shows up for one scene and like leaves, but
I think it's a good thing. And I mean, there is something a little bit it's nice when you can close the book on good things, and Logan really closed the book nicely on a good thing. But, and Patrick Stewart's return was, I think, disgraceful.
That's multiverse madness. But at least, like, I don't know, Deadpool's a little different. It's just, it's funny. It's you know, Ryan Reynolds is charismatic too.
It exists so like playing, outside of the whole reality of everything anyway. So it, yeah.
Yeah. So them playing off each other, even those two YouTube videos, I've watched them a couple times because you're just like, these guys are just so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll have fun with it. And it because he does feel so authentically like Wolverine, like he's so authentically Wolverine. You know, what's always been great about the MCU until the last several years is it always felt like the real version of these comic book characters. Like forget that Daredevil. This is the real devil, whatever, you know, or for my money, like Tom Holland is probably the best Spider-Man. It always felt like they were putting forward the best version of the thing they could. And like I just said, it always felt like whatever X-Men you bring into this thing are going to feel like the fake versions, actually. So it's kind of betray the whole idea.
Because Fox did such a good job, really. Both recastings of two in the two different time periods.
I mean, yeah. And you know, it made me think. I was like, and really three. They've kind of done X-Men three times, like in three kinds of continuities, which is obviously the original, the first class, and then kind of, you know, this Deadpool thing is sort of like a third, you know.
Yeah, it is a third quadrant, and which kind of makes it perfect to segue into the MCU because it's kind of on its island.
The man that walks between worlds anyhow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he would always be in like an empty, like, you know, the X-Men school there, whatever. To the school.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That's a good movie. I actually really like the second one too, with Cable and everything.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
So that's a great way to do it. There was some question in my mind of like, but what's a third Deadpool movie? I mean, like how far does it go? And
yeah, I think the slash three across his face. That's perfect. Beautiful. That's chef kiss.
And you know, like the guy can't die, right? So like Wolverine trying to cut him up to pieces and stuff. I'll tell you, the movie, if you were going to be like, all right, because Hugh is Wolverine, and we want him in at least one MCU movie. We just want Wolverine in an MCU movie. If you made me pick, it would be him versus like an out of control Ruffalo in a Hulk versus Wolverine movie, for my money. And nobody else from the MCU, just like these two, because that was Wolverine's like first comic, was Wolverine versus the Hulk. You could put him in the brown, the cool brown suit and stuff.
Yeah. So, I have a slight conspiracy theory about this, and why this wasn't at D23 is that they just made it up.
Yeah, well, to cover up.
Because I think everything's flopping, and I think they're desperate, and they want something that has heart and life in it.
Now, okay, I'm glad that you said it. We have no clue if it's flopping or not, but it seems like it must.
I mean, there's no numbers, but it feels lifeless and dead to me.
I mean, this is some terrible shit out there right now. And yet, I mean, I see a lot of people who agree with us on that. I see a ton of people who don't. And I'm very, very confused. I accept the idea that there are multiple points of opinion. I get it. But like Rings of Power, like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but there's no room in this world for Rings of Power. I searched for Rings of Power on like TikTok one day. I was like, give me some like TikToks where they're like ours, where they're hating on Rings of Power. I tell you, it was wall to wall. Like, I was really skeptical of this show, and then I watched it and it was amazing. I'm like, did Bezos buy a whole three pages of results on TikTok?
Yeah. I don't know. But, so
it's a lot of propaganda.
I'm gonna get into some more rumor territory. So take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt.
All right, everybody, put on your tinfoils with EJ.
To put on the tinfoils. I got all this from the dark web. So
you downloaded some credit card numbers and got some conspiracy theories. Got
some Marvel Disney conspiracy theories. Is that all of these Disney Plus shows, every single one of them, is made by a process called scrapbooking.
Okay.
And apparently Kevin Feige has also adopted this.
How do you know?
I'm just saying these are dark web sources. I'm not gonna divulge where I got them.
Okay.
But so
the Ukraine?
Yeah, Russia and Ukraine.
Ukraine is concerned.
Working together. Every single one of these, they shoot multiple versions of every scene and then also branching paths. So there was rumors that like Reva was going to get killed in Obi-Wan. Well, they filmed a version of the show where she does get killed, but they thought it maybe through public discourse or screenings, they scrapped that. And so Reva lives. She-Hulk, I think they had a scene in like episode 3 where like she turns into a red She-Hulk. They thought that didn't go well. They scrapped it. And then the upcoming Indiana Jones movie, it barely has a script. They have multiple versions of every screen and branching paths like a video game. And they will ones where Indiana Jones dies, ones where he doesn't. And they're gonna figure it out in post. That's what they're doing for all of these things.
I think that's a good theory for a lot of reasons. But the one that comes to mind is like when you hear about how they had to reshoot tons of they had to basically reshoot all of Solo. They had to reshoot tons of Rogue One. They had to fire directors. That's reputationally bad. They probably wanted to get out of all that. They're like, well, but we still want this kind of data-informed, market-informed, decision-making, or like, and it probably has something to do too with, assuming it's true, assuming the dark web is correct, it might have something to do with like the way they schedule things and the way they like get the most out of the schedule. Like, we have these people for this amount of days and we're going to release on this schedule. I had just heard that, the Blade director dropped out after developing the movie for a while. The movie's supposed to come out next year. And I heard this on, Fat Man Beyond with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin. And Kevin said the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard anybody say. Again, I like this guy, I'm forever tethered to Kevin Smith, but he goes, I don't know why because the director cited too tight of a schedule. Like, I can't make a good movie in the amount of time you're giving me. He goes, I don't know why you would do that. I mean, they're the ones who announced the deadline, not me. So it's not my problem. And I'm just there to shoot them talking and stuff. I mean, all the action is done by somebody else. And the visual effects, that's also somebody else's problem. So I would just do it. I was like, you wouldn't oversee the visual effects and make sure that they were any good, or like you're not directing any of the action whatsoever. Like, how does he see himself as a director? Just somebody who like a mascot for the movie where everybody else is making the film?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like your comment about James Gunn, the story where he's like, hey, it's like these people they're not invested like in this project. They don't have a script. They don't plan things out. And I think that's a part of the problem with these films. They're pieced together after the fact.
Like, they could be anything is your point. They're not, it's not, cause you imagine when James Gunn, a visionary, makes a movie, he's like, the movie is that, he is committed to that vision once he develops it.
Yeah. And then maybe you make compromises here or there, but it's not like, oh, maybe we'll do a version where the story goes this way and this way and this way, depending on the data we pull from Disney Plus.
I mean, I don't get that impression from the Favreau, cause it's like the visual effects are too difficult in a lot of cases to like, you couldn't.
I think because Favreau and Filoni actually, I think, have an idea of what they're doing.
So what's the deal? Sometimes we hire super good talent and we let them commit to their vision. And other times we phone it the fuck in and like develop it.
When you have the amount of content they have to produce, you can't get visionaries everywhere. So you're going to get a bunch of journeymen people you hire. And then a bunch of suits assemble the thing after the fact. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's like not everyone's talented, like a visionary, Quentin Tarantino and even, Filoni, he has his baloney, but you can tell when he's making something.
I just thought that like everybody wanted to make movies, like is this highly saturated market of people who want to make movies, and yet all of them are. There's like it's scarce talent. I mean, I guess that's just the case with anything in life.
Yeah, I think so, especially people who are like leading the pack, you know, because I think a lot of the people who, you know, a lot of these productions still look great. I mean, you know, like the production, the sets and the visual effects, besides She-Hulk, I guess. But
I don't know. Remember that meme that was like, how come all Marvel movies now look like Spy Kids? It's true. It's that haloing and the CG. And
I saw the most recent She-Hulk. I don't know why I keep doing this to myself.
Do you feel? Well, yeah. Well, okay. Let's talk about that for one moment. We're at a terrible crossroads in life, in entertainment. Right now, simultaneously, they're screening Hot D as well as House of the Dragon. Andor, Rings of Power, and She-Hulk.
I should only be giving one of those things my time.
Yeah, well, so this is the issue. Is like, I think we both agree. Is we'll bitch about these things, and people will be like, "Why don't you just stop watching? You're handing them money." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. It's not hate watching per se. I like being abreast of what's going on culturally and in film. It's kind of like witnessing film history, is the way you put it." And so I think that's all valid. But then there's like a threshold question of like, at what point, you know, if I'm why am I following for 12 weeks of my life three shows that I'm disliking all of them? I should pick one and be like, I'll follow She-Hulk and I'll ditch the others. But I don't know.
She-Hulk is fascinating in a way, just with, I don't know what's going on with it. you said like there's like some passion because this show basically hates me.
Yeah, so we watched the pilot of Andor, and it was just, you know, it was an Ambien.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it. Like, well, I was just like zoned out all the time. Like Andor is like the filmmaking is so unmotivated. It's so meandering, and everyone's like doing this like whispery. Everyone has an accent. Everyone's doing like a whisper voice.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I've watched all four. I'll talk about it in a moment, but, where were we going with that? We were saying something before that. Oh yeah. Just that, like, I'm like, you know, this is just a sleepy show. I was like, at least She-Hulk hates me. Yeah. at least I'm watching something that despises me. I like the spiciness of that.
Yeah, there's something to hold on. There's some passion somewhere
for
hating me.
Yeah, and as fascinating as the show is itself, this train wreck of a show, what is more fascinating and maybe infuriating is the number of people who are like, it's great. I mean, I'm finding real human beings, not just bots, who are like,
yeah,
it's great. There is, I don't know if he's listening.
It's fun.
Ken Reed, the guy I was on his podcast, he commented on the Patreon. He's a patron, so he's listening to like the whole thing. And he's like, I can 100%. He was tweeting about it, and he was saying like inflammatory things about the types of people who would dislike She-Hulk. And, you know, and we have respect for one another. So he encounters my opinion, and he goes, I 100% can defend She-Hulk. And I didn't have the heart. I was just like, well, I just reject your hypothesis. The Quentin Tarantino response. And he's like, no. He's like, you know, it's good. The two reasons he cited for why it was good was because it's like the comics. I'm like, well, I didn't read the comics, so I don't. Something being like the source material is not like, you know, I mean, the average person has not read the comic. The average person that watches an MCU property has not read its corresponding comic. That is not baked into the model here. And then the other thing was something like, hey, I think this is a good example of why shared universes are not a strength. And I was like, the shared universe has made untold billions and it has like brought weak characters up, and it has like raised, you know, it's caused like connected stakes and like perpetual storytelling. I mean, it changed the film industry. I certainly recognize.
Is there anything more iconic than that shot in Avengers where the freaking 360 camera is going around all the Avengers?
I mean, there's nothing in film history more successful.
Yeah,
it's the most successful thing ever. So I wouldn't say it's not a strength. I would say it might be a strength. I recognize its weaknesses. I do. I recognize that you can't get to the true art like She-Hulk. Yeah. You're gonna have a but there's still tons of shared universe stuff in that show, right?
There's Wong is in it with the best stuff was with Madison and Wong.
You know what the two funniest things are in this whole world, EJ?
What's that?
Guys being douchey on dating apps. I mean, that's good stuff. And
girls. The comic had like of the people. I saw some statistics like the comics in like the 80s and 90s. It's like the audience was 90% male. I doubt the She-Hulk comic hated its audience as much as this.
There's no fucking way. Get like, out of here.
I'm just calling BS on that argument. I haven't looked at a frame of She-Hulk, the comic, so I don't know. But I bet it didn't resent its audience as much as this show does.
I bet you hate me and you're hate reading me right now.
90% of the audience just kept buying it. They're like, yeah, fucking yell at me.
We both were involved with a couple of projects in college that involved like these guys are really tough on these dating websites. Like, this joke just keeps coming around.
Like, now those people are in charge of Marvel.
I was talking to a friend recently who's like, I used to post like screenshots of like bad interactions on dating sites on Facebook, and now I'm embarrassed. But
can I talk a second about Facebook? I barely use Facebook. Like, I just like scroll to see like what my aunt's up to and stuff, but because that's all that's on it now.
Face aunt. I'm just here to check in on my aunt.
It's like my aunt's on it, and like, I don't know, it's like really off the wall people are on there. Mm-hmm. I like none of the people I like respect are active on it. So anyway. So they, you know how they feed you those whatever Facebook's reels are.
Yes.
And I don't know if you get fed this stuff, but there's two things I get fed. It's one is girls tugging their shirt like this.
Yeah.
There's a jump cut and they're jumping with their boobs.
Yeah.
Like in a bikini.
Yeah.
So that's one. Two. Girls doing like pop culture makeup, crazy makeup, like
such as.
Well, it's just like, I don't know, like a girl will be like, I think I don't ever have the audio on, but I think they're singing to a song or something, and there's like a prompt. It's like, I don't know, my She-Hulk makeup, and there's like singing, okay. And they're like doing a couple swipes, and then it's like a jump cut, and then it's like they're all done up crazy.
I haven't seen that. No, I do get fed like the horny ones. And maybe because like I, you know, if somebody is taking off all their clothes, I can't look away. And then Facebook is like, we're just showing you another one.
Well, the reason I was just like scrolling, I'm like, what's my aunt up to? And all of a sudden I see this girl just going like this. Her. And I was just like, this girl doing like, I'm like, what the fuck is this video? And all of a sudden like her boobs are shaking. And that's like, Facebook's like, you want to see that all the time. And I'm like, no.
You were like, boo. Went all Hank Hill.
Well, Facebook has shown me the boobies.
YouTube fed me a 4-second clip the other day. It's Hank Hill in his car with Bobby. And he just goes, you know what's not cool, Bobby? Hell. What a genius that guy is. You know what's not cool, Bobby? Hell. What do I get fed on there? I get all that. I get like, here are three tips on what to do when they ask you, what do you want your salary to be? Say, I'm really bringing a lot of value to this job. About what's your range for somebody as valuable as me? Subscribe here for more tips. there's a lot of like, here's how we're going to set boundaries at work. Here's how we're going to not go any further than we have to in life. Life is not an adventure. Life is to be stood still.
I don't know what it says to me. It says about me that Facebook keeps bringing me these women. These women with makeup.
I don't think the algorithms are especially sophisticated. I think
I think it's a little bit of a shotgun.
The reels in particular, I think, are just like, do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Homer Simpson's makeup gun.
Boobs. There was one. It was like on the Red Cow in particular. It was like a my surrogacy journey. It was all about like a woman who was having it was a surrogate mother for a couple, and like all the things she's asked that are inappropriate, and she wants you to know about that.
Yeah, it is
cesspool.
It is shocking when, like, because I set up that like EJ Streams channel, which I don't use, and so there's no algorithm to it. So whenever I switch to it, it's just shocking what YouTube just like.
Here's like, the baseline.
The baseline. It's like, this is like how my hair grows in 100 days, and it's just like stuff like that.
So it's funny, like peep in on somebody else's algorithm, like I go to John's house and it's like some home repair, some game shows, and like some anime. Like, this is not my front page. Well, let's talk about Andor then. So yeah. I watched the pilot. You watched the pilot. Did you get through the whole pilot?
I got through the whole pilot. It's weird how it just ended. It was like you described it as like the film ran out of the reels.
Yeah,
it was like.
And I watched up to episode 4. It
insulted me a little bit. I feel like your pilot, like I feel like the other Disney Plus shows know this. Like they have strong pilots and they have like whatever middles, and then they have strong endings. Because I think, but this one was like insulting because it was just like, we're not even gonna try. Whatever. It's not even have an ending.
But they must have known it because they released three episodes. The releasing three episodes at once thing felt like an admission of like, all right, the first one's inadequate.
But at that point, just make it an extra, like, you know, the Lost pilot was like 2 hours long.
I agree. Like if they made it a TV movie or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have at least, because when it showed me nothing and then the credits started rolling, I was like, that's insulting. It's insulting that you consider that an episode of television.
Yeah, you put that out on the airwaves. I mean by the time you get to three was kind of it culminates in this like sub empire. There's kind of this like splinter version of the empire, which I find a little annoying. Maybe it's from source material. How would I? But I'm just like, what? Like the regular?
Is that like the security guy? Like this is the with the red.
Yeah, it's like the mall security of the empire. And this like overzealous guy who really wants to investigate this. It kind of culminates in him doing a raid on Andor's house, and Stefan Skarsgård like getting him out of there on a swoop bike. And it's like kind of intriguing, and there's like a bit of swearing and violence, and you know it's very much trying to be Dune, Blade Runner, you know,
for adults.
Certainly not for children.
To sleep for adults.
Yeah, the boredom seems to be a feature and not a bug. Like that's like because I've heard a lot of people defend how boring this thing is. They're like, hey man, that's what. In the real world, oh my god, let me stop world, you right there.
Just gonna check out your phone during the show.
We shot at No Views, and I made a similar comment about another movie that was very slow to start, and I was like, just so everybody knows, I'm not here to just hang out. Like, I'm here to like watch something. Yeah, it's a slow burn though. But it was okay by that point, I guess. And so that was enough to make me watch the next one. And this last one was very, 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 very tiresome because it's like them bringing him to a camp of rebels. And they're like, who's the new guy? I told you, no new people. And they're like in the woods and they're like, you know, they're all like real, you know.
Standing around in rooms. Their hyperdrive's broken.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's about rebels.
It does not read as Star Wars. I'll tell you that much. And I on some level respect the effort to be like, let's get away from TIE fighters. Let's get away from lightsabers. Let's expand this thing. If you're going to make this much content, you got to expand it, but you got to do a logical expansion. Don't you? It has to be like, here's something that is definitely Star Wars. And then we're going to grow that into a new thing. not like we're going to be Star Wars in name only, and otherwise we'll be Dune slash Blade Runner.
Yeah, I started the second episode, but like when, I don't know, it was just more of the same, more of like the, I had the weird like flashback in the forest or whatever. I couldn't get into it. I turned it off. I can only take so much. I can only take so many Rings of Power, She-Hulk, Andor.
I have about, because of my elliptical routine, I've got about an hour a day for to be like, all right, entertain me, where I'm not distracted. I'm going to watch a television. And, you know, I can slot in a show or two to do that. I generally just want to be watching YouTube. It's all I really want to be watching. It's my favorite platform because I can watch all kinds of stuff on it.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I almost continued Andor, but then like SNES Drunk, he made a new video, so I have to watch SNES Drunk. Yeah. Oh, Sega Lord X, he made a new video. These are way more enriching to my life.
I'm really gonna bump poor SNES Drunk because of this shit.
I'm not.
So did you know that it's going to be 12 episodes this season, and they're already renewed for a second 12 episode season? So
I'm already asleep.
I like when Stefan Skarsgård says, Gezi and Ander. Like, just let him say it however you... maybe it's like in the original Star Wars with Han and Han. Somebody once asked, I think Mark Hamill was like, so which is it? And he's like, eh.
Yeah, they all say it different. It's fine.
Who gives a damn?
It's for children.
I also think it's really... I mean, I get that he was named in Rogue One or whatever, but I've met a not insignificant number of people now who are like, it's a show about the Ewok planet. Like, that is kind of a branding problem, isn't it?
I'd watch it. I'd watch the Ewok planet more than this.
If you released a show called Endor, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'd watch those teddy bears.
But also my child.
Violent teddy bears? Be awesome. Yeah.
My child's made me watch the cartoon, the original Saturday morning cartoon, and the movies quite a few times. And, you know, they're terrible, but they're not so bad.
Disney Plus sequel when?
And also in this past episode, they returned to Coruscant. I think that's the first time outside of like a shot maybe in Force Awakens. That's the first time we've returned to Coruscant since Revenge of the Sith, I think.
Hmm.
So it was kind of nice to be back, but it also didn't feel, it really felt like Blade Runner. So if you like Blade Runner, yeah, maybe this is for you. I like Blade Runner. Blade Runner is better than this.
Yeah, I like Blade Runner. It's slow, but it's better.
Yeah, I prefer Stefan.
Blade Runner 49 mm-hmm. with the Dune guy made it. So
there you go.
He's good.
This dude should have made Endor.
Yeah, probably.
The Ewok movie.
But he's too expensive and probably has his own ideas. He won't shoot three versions of the same.
Can you shoot like a shitty, you know, a bowl of porridge is too hot version, a bowl of porridge is too cold version, and a Goldilocks version?
Yeah. You have to branch the past like a video game, like you're playing Skyrim.
No. Well, speaking of algorithms, no, you know what? I'll go to that in a moment. I just want, they released two making of, you know, like Marvel and Star Wars making of things on Disney Plus, on the Disney Plus day when Pinocchio came out. One was the making of Obi-Wan. I just want to say, so they had this like in the documentary, they had this motif where the actors now 20 years later are standing in front of a gigantic movie screen watching clips from the prequels. So like Hayden and Ewan are watching giant,
subjecting them to them.
Yeah. Like stand there and watch it. And so that, you know, they're like in silhouette and they're watching it and they're kind of like nodding along to it. They got to watch the high ground scene and shit. And it's so funny. Cause like at the exact same time that there was VO of Ewan in an interview going, you know, these movies are for children, and we made it for that. We made it for kids for our movie, and George made it for kids with his movies. At the moment of that VO, they're showing on that giant screen him cutting fucking Anakin to shreds. Like, it's for kids.
It's like more comical than like Plinkett's review of like the kids watching the like politics.
The Photoshop. Yeah, it's so good. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. And I'll say too, that actually, if you're a Star Wars fan, certainly if you're a prequels fan, definitely check out the making of, because they have Hayden in full costume and full makeup for things that they never showed in the show.
Yeah, because like, they were filming three different versions.
the shitty scrapbook version. So there's like one where, because you know when he's like cloaked from a distance, like in the mirage of him in that show, he's in full Episode 3 era clothing. He looks a little much like he does in the flashbacks. He looks a little, you know, aged. He
looks like a dad.
He looks like a dad with the 70s hair. And then they also had him in like full burned makeup where he looks a lot like the sort of, you know, the old crusty guy from Return of the Jedi. So that's cool to see.
Yeah.
And I also watched the making of Thor: Love and Thunder. And quite a few things to take note of. First of all, I had no idea that Natalie Portman's helmet is fully CG.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? They're like, it's just easier if it's CG.
You can light the eyes better. They don't have dark eyes if they don't have a helmet.
And just as we suspected, yeah, they made really good use of this wonderful new tool called the volume.
I
like the volume. It's cool, but you can tell that's a volume picture.
that's a volume picture.
They're starting to do it, you know, because they got to watch the bottom line a little bit. They're starting to like make the shows a little more like the movies, make the movies a little bit more like the shows, and you know.
That was another thing as part of this thing where they shoot three times of every scene. Is that's why the budgets are the way they are, but it still looks cheap, is because they have to film so much footage.
They filmed three movies to sign these people up. Yeah. And
House of the Dragon uses the volume. So House of the Dragon, you know, that looks great. I mean, it uses it as a tool. So they have a lot of sets. They have a lot of on location stuff, but they fill in gaps with the volume. Like, I guess Industrial Light and Magic, you know, rents it out to people.
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, I think the volume's amazing. And I've seen some stuff that's really, really cool. So I'm not saying, like, if it's volume, it's bad. Or if it's green screen, it's bad. What I'm saying is that, like, it clearly, it's kind of, when I say the volume, I kind of mean, it's kind of shorthand for, like, we just showed up and shot something. you know, like, it makes it really easy for them to be overly agile, to be undeliberate with their shots, I think. To certainly to, you know, they can kind of factory make these things that much more easily. And that's my major critique of these movies.
It's the same thing as like unmotivated shots and unmotivated. Yeah. It's like if you just show up and just, you know, wing it, it's not going to be good.
Right. Exactly. That's why Better Call Saul was not shot in the volume. We've got this amazing volume that, you know, we're able to put everybody in front of. a big golden shit. And at the end of that documentary, Taika goes, yeah, we have to be very careful that we don't, you know, because we do improvisation and comedy, that it doesn't just all become comedy and complete nonsense, you know, that it still hangs together as a story. And I'm like, that's so funny that they put, like, everybody knows that's the major criticism of that film. Yeah, and there it is right in the documentary. He's like, I hope we didn't do that. Like, oops.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah, speaking of algorithms, a few weeks ago, we were laughing about kind of like AI written, like Screen Rant type articles or like comicbook.com type articles. You know, if you like pop culture, if you like the sorts of things we talk about, I bet you get fed this stuff on your social media like we do. We heard from a lot of you saying as much. And one of our fans emailed me, and so let me pull it up. His name is Michael. He's a patron. And he said, hey, I actually applied for a job at Screen Rant, and they gave me an editorial application where I had to do like a writing sample to kind of feed that model of theirs. And he says, so it's not AI written. We have to feed this like monster. So he said, hey, Red Cow gents, I responded to a job posting for Comic Book Resources. So CBR.com, but it's all the same company as Screen Rant. Believe me, I was shocked people are employed to write this garbage too, but I think it's more interesting that a lot of those clickbait nerd sites fall under the same parent company. Makes sense. I'll paste what I received below and attach the PDF for the editor test I received. So they said, hi, Michael, Thank you for your interest in the comic news editor position at CBR. We reviewed your qualifications and would like to move forward in the application process. In order to properly evaluate your suitability for the position, we've attached our standard editor application. Yeah. Please take a look at the anime news articles that are posted on our site to get a feel for the content we publish. DC launches new horror imprint with Conjuring 3 Prelude series. The Flash Michael Keaton officially confirmed to return as Batman. New Shazam series spins out of Teen Titans Academy. And then they talk about the new style. And so, yeah, let's go to this PDF of theirs and see what the assignment was. That's something I see on TikTok a lot, too. I understood the assignment. Yeah. All right. What three 2022 releases will be the biggest content opportunities? Please explain your answer in approximately 150 words. Then pitch 5 comics news article ideas for CBR with titles that fit the site's tone and style. Make sure to apply any SEO, search engine optimization knowledge, you possess to your titles. Your pitches should be news headlines, i.e. not features and not listicles. Listicles, testicles, wallet, and watch. Select one of your pitches from question 2 and write a sample in 400 to 600 words. You must use the tone and style found in the examples provided below. Edit the following for grammar, spelling, accuracy, flow, and style. Please also include an appropriate header message. And then they write out this kind of AI looking Wikipedia stuff. And then what makes you the best candidate for the role? Keep in mind, writing style should be fairly formal. No editorializing or using of I statements. Do not use first person pronouns. Report the news and give factual context to it. Provide detailed and accurate information. The intro should briefly sum up the news, followed by background info and context for the news. Body paragraphs provide the most important context for the news, followed by source links and additional details, ending with a concluding paragraph. And your sample must conform to the news style. Yeah, so I guess it's not that interesting. It's just editorial stuff. But they're saying, like, please write like a robot and make sure that it's all searchable. Like, SEO is the game, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, this is a writing sample. They want to make sure you understand it. But I think there is still AI. I think a tool helps you to write.
Oh, yeah. So
this tool helps you to write.
This is something I wanted to talk about. I'm so glad you brought it up. I keep on Facebook getting the same ad. It came right after we talked about, like, hey, what's with all these AI news articles? And the first one was, and I think it's still out there, but yeah, it's this picture of like a dude in a car talking about like how helpful it is that he has bought this thing called Jasper to write his news articles. And on top, it says at the top, this tool writes content for you. On top of the guy.
It's like this tool right here.
So every single comment,
this guy,
this tool. So shortly thereafter, same exact ad. They change it to new AI writes content for you.
With the same picture.
With the same guy. Yeah, same video of the guy talking. Then I think they go, maybe not everybody knows what AI is, you know? But maybe that sounds bad. So then they say robot writes content for you. Robot emoji. Like, oh, cool, a robot. And then how to use robots to write content. You know, lest you accuse us of having robots write for us. So maybe like there was a turnoff, and then they change it again. Scale your marketing content with AI. It's like, don't rely on it entirely. Scale with it. I just wanted to point this out. The evolution of an ad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I worked for a major news publication, and they used to have a whole floor of people who wrote content. And then as soon as this AI stuff started happening, they laid off everybody.
Really?
Yeah. And then it really is just people like feeding in information, and then a program does everything else.
You think human beings are reading robot articles? Like,
well, I think they're being managed by people, but yeah, I think it's mostly if you have a local newspaper and they have, or a local website and they have content, most of it's AI.
It's wild, man. Because I feel like I could smell it from a mile away. Or I'm like, why the hell am I on the site getting ads thrown at me, reading a robot?
It was really the saddest thing in the world when I would, like, there used to be a whole floor of people writing, and then one day, they were all gone. And, like, it was just a ghost town.
Killing younglings.
Yeah, it was killing younglings.
Somebody in our Discord like wrote an EJ reviews with AI. Maybe I can find it. I don't know. It was
just like a prompt. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like EJ likes ribs and EJ will cook ribs today.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if that's all it can do, fuck. Like, how are they writing full articles?
Yeah. I think if you had a more sophisticated, this is just like the free tools you can find online to write you like a paragraph. But I think you probably could feed enough of my reviews into AI and come up with something pretty
good. Well, my name is EJ Massa. I eat popcorn 5 times a day. I have an NES game recommendation. I found new NES game. Now I can't remember what it said. Zen Ninja Konami NES. Let's see. Yeah. I was looking at, I was like, Konami's amazing, right? Oh no, I remember how it was. I was watching a cool YouTube video. This guy broke down the 3 eras of NES: early black box NES, Mario 3, Zelda 1 era, mid NES, and like 1991 on, you know, so like all the late era Kirby's Adventure type style NES.
Yeah, during the Super Nintendo era when they were still making games.
I'm like really interested in that era because like the game development became more sophisticated. And he was going like, you know, not a lot of people have played Zen Intergalactic Ninja, but like a lot of people have played the first Turtles game. And he's like, you know, one is better than, they're both Konami games. One is better than the other. So I started playing that game. It was okay. It was like a, somewhat, you can tell it's Konami for the NES. I mean, like the sounds are just perfect. But YouTube noticed that I was taking notice of a new NES game and they like pushed a different long play on me. They're like, watch this one. It was a game called, well, let's see. It's Shatterhand in North America. And in Japan, it is called, it's like Soul something. Soul Brain. Tokyo Shiri Soul Brain. And yeah, so in this predates Power Rangers. This is like, I think, 89. And it was it's totally a Sentai type video game. And then I noticed that in North America, they renamed it to Shatterhand. And it's a dude with like, you know, big, they live style sunglasses, and he's like, you know, everybody was Arnold for a while.
Yeah. And I saw the box art. He has like a Terminator hand underneath his fist, and he has bloated muscles.
like if you've ever played Power Blade for NES, like that's another, like they actually sued, Arnold sued them, for his likeness. So there's a while there where like the coolest thing you could be was the Terminator.
Oh yeah. And like Contra, like the two leads look like Arnold and Stallone or whatever.
Arnold just selling everything in the 80s. It's just funny to think about because like just a couple of years later, and there's no way they would change it from a Power Ranger. They would make it a Power Ranger video game, you know?
Oh yeah.
The Power Rangers exploded here. But at that moment in time, fuck Power Rangers, Arnold.
Yeah. You just get that Japanese stuff out, put Arnold in.
Now, it's a wonderful NES game, I got to tell you. The difficulty is perfectly balanced. It has a beginner's stage. So the first level is like an easy version of the game that teaches you how it functions. And then it's a stage select from there, and they get kind of increasingly hard. But I joked, you know, everybody knows I love Batman NES. And it's become somewhat notorious in our Discord that I like love Felix the Cat too much or something. And
well, you do. You can't stop talking about it.
The reason I
a bag of tricks,
black, dump your bag of tricks all over my face. The reason I like it so much, Felix, is because of the power up, concept. Where like if you, I love game design where if you play well, the game will get easier. And then, but the stakes become higher for like, if you have one slip up, the game will get hard again. Like Sonic technically is like that, where you want to stay as north on the map as possible, because that's the easiest path, but it's hard to stay on that path. So there's fewer enemies, but harder to stay on the path. So yeah, in Felix the Cat, like if you collect X number of hearts or whatever, you can power up, and now you can get hit once and you have a weapon, and then you can do it again and like really power up. And so you might call Shatterhand, Batman NES meets Felix the Cat, because it's got
perfect for Frankie.
It's got almost exactly the same kind of enemies, and gameplay as like the combat as Batman. And then, yeah, as you go, you collect these little boxes and they have little characters on them. Like, I don't know what kind of characters they are, but like just these like little shapes. And when you get three and you can, you get them randomly or you can swap them out. You get a power up, and the power up is like a little sidekick that follows you and can either shoot in a certain direction or, you know, can like slice a sword, but like north of you. So you can like get a different angle on the bad guys. And those little things can take damage too. So like they have their own health bar, and if they get hit too many times, you lose them. But if you're able to hang on to them and then power do like get another three, then you can have like this like ultimate kind of mech version of yourself. It's just fucking cool. And like the difficulty, it gets really difficult, but I never thought it crossed into total ridiculous unfairness. Music's great. Sound effects are great. I can't believe I've never heard of this game. And I noticed it's like a $100 game on eBay.
Yeah. I was getting into that new Kirby game. You talked about it before, the Forgotten Land.
Oh, yeah. I really like that. Yeah.
I had a business trip to Dallas, so I had some time on a plane. And so, yeah, it's so nice to just have a game you can play and you just like can beat the level. And it's like really easy.
Yeah.
Love and all the power-ups are just really inventive, and all of them feel good, and they all have like little uses in the stages. And which is what I liked about the original Kirby's Adventure, where, you know, you felt good using the power-ups.
Like if you've ever played like one Kirby game, you instantly know, like it's such a good transition to 3D. It almost feels like they didn't transition to 3D.
Yeah. It's a great transition to 3D. You almost are like, oh, how come they never did this before?
Yeah.
And so, it's a great little game. And the bosses are really fun and creative. And I love the little challenges. Like, you know, you can try to beat the boss without taking damage, or they make you use a specific power up. Or you have to beat it in a certain way. All those like optional difficulty, if you want to do it, you can do it. And if you just want to move on with the game, you can. I love that stuff. It's great. It's great dad game.
I Gloria doesn't generally play like action adventure type games, but like I handed that one to her and it was just intuitive to her. She was just having fun. And like, normally she throws the controller if there's a bad guy, but these are like pretty conquerable bad guys.
Yeah. And you can upgrade all the power-ups. It's really fun.
She likes to watch like, we get recommended compilations of like every ending for every single Mario game. And we like call out like, oh, that's 3D Land, that's New Super Mario Brothers 3D, you know, 2 or whatever. She likes to do that with me. And then they start recommending like, you know, every power up you can do in Mario Maker. And she starts watching that. She's like, I didn't know you could do that in Mario Maker. She rushes over to it. She's like, I'm going to do that in Mario Maker. And I realized, I was like, you know, YouTube watching like other people's levels would probably be good for her, because she plays that game all the time.
Yeah.
She's super into the Nutcracker right now.
Oh, we love the Nutcracker around here.
Do you really?
I made like, we have this little musical device. It's like basically a Bluetooth speaker, but you can put cards into it. And these cards are like CDs, basically they have a track list, and you can program your own track list onto certain cards, like a little RFID chip. And I made one for the Nutcracker because my son likes the Nutcracker. Mm. I made him a Mario one. So it has, awesome. All of the Mario 3D World music. Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, and then yeah, Nutcracker's great.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what is she like about the Nutcracker?
I think she kind of got reintroduced to it because of we have a Berenstain Bears book that's like they get a Nutcracker, then they act out the Nutcracker, and then she got like really into the concept of the Rat King, and
oh yeah,
she started like. So I was like, "There's got to be an app or a game or something," and there's for $2. There's this game, this iPad game, where it just plays the Tchaikovsky music on loop. And, you know, pretty much all of it. And you can go into like different bedrooms, and you can like go visit the Rat King, give him some cheese, and like go to a different one and like wipe off the fog on like a window, like with your finger. And it's like a cute little like Nutcracker thing. But she was going on. We went out to ice cream a few weeks ago, and she was going on and on about like the Rat King and stuff. And the ice cream lady goes, "The Rat King from the Nutcracker?" And I was like, "See, when I hear Rat King, I go to like Ninja Turtles."
Yeah, we have like a Nutcracker book. It's like one of those books that it tells the story of the Nutcracker, and you can push parts of the page, and it plays some of the music.
Yeah, we're gonna have to go to a show, I think. Like she,
yeah, yeah. Oh, I think I remember going to the Boston Ballet Nutcracker. It's amazing.
Yeah, she would really like that. We should totally do that. You've been getting even more use out of your analog pocket.
Yes. Yeah, they released more cores. So they have Super Nintendo now. They have Genesis. They have regular Nintendo. So it's basically a little, it's a little emulation machine. So it, emulates all that hardware. The screen's great. So
Do you prefer playing retro games on it over your little teeny tiny one?
Yeah, actually I do. I might sell my teeny tiny one because it's like redundant now. So but I didn't know the analog would get this many features, this many cores. I thought it was just going to be like, I can play my old carts on it, but now I can just load up a memory card full of NES, Genesis, Master System, all of that. And
it does make it awfully appealing.
Neo Geo. It's a more appealing. I mean, I would say if you already have something that you like holding and like looking at the screen, I wouldn't bother, like one of those Chinese ones. I think that the other one I have is just a little too small, like the screen.
Yeah.
And I was talking about my eyes, my aged eyes. And I think the screen is just a tad too small. And this screen size is probably as much as my little aged eyes can handle. So.
It's $219. And I'm wondering, like, when can you expect to get it? Are they like readily available now?
I don't know. I don't really know how available they are.
Yeah. Maybe they've become more available. I've been seeing like another wave of YouTube videos.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The great thing about it is really the controls are the 8-bit DOE controls. And then the dock is really nice because it has Bluetooth in it, so you can use a controller, and it looks great on my Samsung Frame TV. So I was thinking about getting like something like a Super Console X, like what you have, but now this kind of supplants it. I can just dock it on that TV and it's fine.
Yeah, I do like the if you're limited to those systems, like why not, right? No. I like the Super Console X for the UI, the arcade games, the Sega CD games, and kind of it scratches that itch. But I don't find myself playing it all that often. Although normally for TV gaming, I do often find myself playing the Super Console X. Like just like trying out some new like Capcom beat 'em up from Japan I've never played before or whatever. But there's plenty of that on the Switch too.
I was actually thinking about getting building a PC, like a tiny PC. Or getting one of those mini PCs that like Retro Game Core always reviews. And like, cause I want to emulate 3DS games because my son has been asking about like, new Super Mario or Super Mario 3D Land and these other games he hasn't played. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like he'll be satisfied if it's on a handheld.
Yeah.
I feel like he'll want it on a TV. So I want to like figure out a solution where I can play it on a TV.
Yeah. Much like the Wii, when you emulate 3DS, it looks a lot better.
Yeah. And you need like a little more power than all these smaller systems.
Right.
Or Super Console X. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do something like that. And like that way I can load in maybe even like if it has more power, I could emulate like some Wii U games too. Just so you could have like an all-in-one system almost. And then either that and then the Switch, and then he has all of his Mario games in one.
Get your NES remixes on there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we last weekend we shot the Boxmack Halloween episode. It's not a full-blown narrative, anything like that, but we are in costume, and EJ doesn't know what that costume is, but I think it's going to be a real crowd pleaser, and it's pretty fucking outrageous. So we did, spoilers, John wanted to do another Monster Mac, and so he combined some of our favorite Macs to make to dope them up was the idea, to make them like just absolute crack. And like for one was Walmart three cheese plus Cracker Barrel Cracker Barrel cheese. So, sorry, the Cracker Barrel pasta with the Cracker Barrel cheese and with the three cheese packet from Walmart. Anyway, it's going to be a good episode. And then we also did...
Did Nina film it?
Yeah, Nina filmed it. And we also did a No Views out like and a campfire. And that'll come out not this weekend, but next. And that's where you'll start getting all your Halloween content every week. We're going to go to a flannel fest that my church is putting on Sunday, October 9th. We're going to a fall fair, the church fair on the 8th. So another church fair. And I think that's probably it for what's scheduled. But yeah, it should be a fun little... No Views is going to be very good.
Yeah, for my Halloween episode, I have a pretty good idea. Is I'm going to make a Snickers ribs.
Ooh,
because I got like a really shitty comment a long time ago about how I... shouldn't like Sweet Baby Ray's because it like has enough calories to be a Snickers bar. And so now I'm going and Snickers is my favorite Halloween treat. Like when I went trick or treating, Snickers was my favorite. So I'll be able to weave in that narrative. And so yeah, I'm going to make a recipe that, you know, at least tries to mimic Snickers, but adapts it so it actually tastes good on ribs. Hopefully. I started writing down a recipe, so
that'll be exciting. That'll help fill out the Halloween season.
Yeah, and then, of course, I'm making a Thanksgiving episode. Will be the Bloomin' Onion turkey.
I wonder if we'll make our way back out to Plymouth this year. I'm not sure. I'm trying to like take all. You know, we used to go so crazy. I noticed we had 80 videos for Halloween. It's like its own YouTube channel just for Halloween. And you know, so we used to always release so much content. I still want to celebrate the season, but I don't want to like blow out my whole awesome favorite month of the year, you know, editing every second of every day and stuff. That's so true. Just trying to like, you know, pull it back a little bit. It's hard once you set the precedent, you know, you start to hear from people too. They're like looking forward to all the Halloween content.
Yeah. People really liked the Box Mac return. So
yes.
Looking forward to more Box
Mac. You know, there's three others in the banks that haven't been edited yet, so look for more Box Mac.
We haven't talked about Hot D, man.
Yeah, so we've jumped forward in time.
Yeah, the previous episode was that the wedding of of Rhaenyra and always in, you know, these Game of Thrones shows, weddings are very got some very spectacle dramatic to them. And then they had the time jump, and I thought the time jump, like, that is probably, it's almost rebooting the show in some ways and probably a very difficult task. And so I thought they did very well.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I heard some people were like too jostled by it, or they got confused by it or something. But I think I knew it was going to happen. I think you had mentioned it was going to happen. So I was like watching for it. And also I like that it happened reasonably early in the story. So it's not like, you know, if you went along for three seasons and then suddenly you lose all the actors that you had become attached to, that would be a different story. But this feels like, to me, a logical expansion of where we're going with this thing. I actually love it. I think it's like, for me, it really makes it awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it makes sense. Even with all that time passed, I can logically figure out where everybody, how everybody got here. And I kind of even like how like Allison's actor kind of has like more crazy eyes now. Like, you know, like she's like she's like more into her schemes. And so the actress kind of reflects that.
You know, going from 20 years old to 30 years old or whatever it is they did, you don't have to recast. You could try to kind of age up the 20-year-olds a little tiny bit, but I like the statement that the recasting makes. It's sort of, the recasting says like it's 10 years later and we're dealing with like kind of different entities now.
Yeah. But they I think they still do a good job. They don't look exactly like each other, the previous actresses, but I think they did a great job with the actors really get, I think, the characters. I think the, and just like, there's just so much happens, like so much happens in this show. And like, you think about what happens in Rings of Power, where in this previous episode of Rings of Power, they finally leave Numenor.
And like, what do I care whether we're in Numenor or not?
And when the previous episode, like, they already decided to leave Numenor, and then this episode, we're talking about, like, this is the fifth episode, the next episode will air tomorrow,
the fifth hour of entertainment.
So it, like, it's like the same stuff happens in the same episode. There's two training sessions in each of these shows, one with Galadriel and one in with the boys in the yard in House of the Dragon. And the disparity between these, this tale of two training sessions. You have one training session with Galadriel where it's nonsense. It's just, it's like childish. What does this scene say besides, which we already know is Galadriel's a girl boss.
Right.
Which, you know, I'm not very familiar with Tolkien lore. Was she like a warrior? I don't remember. I thought she was like a sorcerer, like in stuff.
I don't know. What I do know is that when I posted a TikTok of us saying like, she seems like she's 14 and adolescent. And they're like, that's because she is an elf. This is 5,000 years before the new ones. An elf. Yeah. And what they're trying to say without saying it is that apparently they think that elves' brains develop super slowly because they live so long. I'm like, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think elves are like Grogu.
Yeah, it's not like Baby Yoda, man.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think like you got all these 2,000-year-old elves walking around being like impetulant, like 14-year-olds.
Yeah, you have like 1,000-year-olds just being like goo goo gaga.
No. I think they reach a level of, I think they age about as fast as men do, and then they go way beyond the level of wisdom and.
Yeah, that makes no sense. So she shouldn't act like a 15-year-old.
What a stupid thing to say, you stupid fucking nerds.
And like, so this training session was totally just nonsense fluff that you could have just skipped. And but then the training session in House of the Dragon, Hot D, you know, you have Kristen Cole, who, you know, he has all this pent up like aggression toward these like kids. And then he's on Allison's side now. And just like his development is so intriguing.
And they didn't even have to waste any time on his defecting to her side. It was like one brief scene.
Yeah.
In the last episode.
You got it.
Yeah, I get it.
And like in the way they left in the previous episode where he's about to kill himself and then Allison shows up.
Yeah.
That could have gone in so many different directions. And the way they took it was the most interesting direction.
Yeah. Just let us infer. I think that's great.
And that's what I like about the show is, again, it respects the intelligence of the audience every time.
And it's confident enough in its communication that it's like, we've already made this thing clear. You know, that's how you can, and this is really what you want from your best stories. When Damon shows up to a wedding, you don't have to have any dialogue about like, what's he doing here? You know, you know, just his presence is like, who's going to die? Who's going to get fucked? Who's, you know, you gasp with his, you know.
Yeah. No words were spoken. He just shows up. Yeah. I gasped when he showed up. It was great. Yeah. So this training session, then you have, you know, Rhaenyra's stub muffin there, who's people are not supposed to, he's the father of all these children, but people know,
and we're not clued in either, right? Or did I miss it? Like, at first we're not, like, we end up figuring it out kind of quickly, but
yeah, we're not supposed to know, but you know, he has all the children have brown hair. He kind of during this training session, he lords over them like a parent, and then it becomes clear that yes, these are all his children. Then you have King Viserys, who's like looking upon it, and he's trying to happy talk everything. Everybody around knows that these are this guy's kids because of the way he's acting.
And
he's just he's trying to it reminds me of like you know, when the media is like, We're not in a recession right now. It's we're changing the definition of recession. It's great right now. Right. It's the same where the king is like, I am going to like willfully ignore what I can plainly see with my eyes because I know it will stave off conflict a little bit longer. And it's just it's such a good message or a good timely story for this son.
Like when she suggests, she's like, all right, how about my son will marry your daughter, and then you know we can be united. And he's like, what a wonderful idea. He's like, anything that will make the, because he caused this whole fucking problem, like, you know, there's just a little bit of decisiveness about these things would go a long way. No. Well, I guess he was decisive that she's the heir, but it's also kind of clearly the unpopular move with the kingdom, and you represent the kingdom, you know. So like, yeah, I love it. And I love watching these two women just give birth to a million boys and just try to secure their legacies like crazy. You know, I love the opening sequence of her being commanded to see the queen. And she's like, I'm not giving her the satisfaction. I'm going to walk up there myself. You know, just passing by these citizens who are like, I'm so glad to congratulate you. She's like bleeding all over the place. It's a great, great show.
Yeah, and I love like the how the king in every episode is looking more and more like the crypt keeper.
Yeah, but he also
the previous episode, you're like he collapses, and you're like, oh, he's dead. And then 10 years later, he's still alive. He's missing an arm.
I was so glad to see that because I thought it was like a little convenient to have him like just drop at the end of the. I thought it was cool because it would mean that you'd get to advance the story. But I like that, like, yeah, this guy is hanging on for dear life, and like his death when he finally he's the sands through the hourglass of this thing. When he drops, all the tension is going to come crashing down. Yeah. And Damon's role in that competition is not immaterial either, you know?
Yeah. I think if I were to have one criticism is that the Damon story in this previous episode or this most recent episode was a little like shaky, like the, like what was happening with his, because you could, but at the wedding, he was kind of courting that girl. The girl was courting him, and then they got married, and then like, you know, she was giving birth, and then like she like committed suicide with the dragon. I feel like it should have been more clear that she was like done for with her, because in the source material, they kind of make it clear that she was basically dying in childbirth. But I don't feel like it was made super clear.
It felt more like she was like giving up on something, or
it should have been more clear that she was like about to die and that she wanted a dragon rider's death or whatever. But that's a minor nitpick.
But yeah, it's the only one of the lot so far that I every week I'm like, ooh, yeah. That's really that's the marker, right? When you're like, oh, it's I forgot a new one's up right now. At my next opportunity, I'll get to watch it. Versus the other ones where I'm like, okay, so if this is episode 6 and there's 10 episodes, how many more weeks of She-Hulk do I have to survive for the sake of the podcast?
No, this it's a great treat.
She-Hulk, yeah. Yeah. It's a wedding episode.
It's a wedding. Yeah, well, their wedding episodes were just as good as Hot D episode.
If only the She-Hulk wedding episode had gone similarly.
Yeah, like a rat comes and like licks up the blood.
I was trying to explain Hot D to Nina and also House of the Dragon. And and she was like, why do you watch this show? She's like, this show sounds grotesque. Everybody's pregnant all the time. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty great. It's pretty it speaks to something extremely human, you know?
Yeah. I saw some like blue checks talking about how like, oh, everyone's dying in childbirth. It's like, it's the Middle Ages like era. People like died of cuts and childbirth, especially.
Well, what's their complaint exactly?
Yeah, there's something about sexism. It's vague.
It's okay. It's like bad depictions or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but, well, you watch She-Hulk then, would you?
Well, yeah.
There's a few other shows just for you.
Just for
a few million that I'm stuck with. Let me have my Hot D, and also House of the Dragon.
Red Cow Arcade.